welcome back to the Bob Harden Show. And now here's your host, Bob Harden.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. We're providing you news and commentary rooted in a commitment to individual liberty, personal responsibility, limited government, and the rule of law. Coming up, we're going to visit with Professor Larry Bell, endowed professor at the University of Houston in space architecture. Right now, we have with us Ryan Young. He is a senior economist with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Ryan. And tell us about the Competitive Enterprise Institute.
We are a think tank in Washington, D.C., and we cover all things regulatory. Everything from financial regulation to
see. You know, I've been looking forward to our conversation, Ryan, because I heard news that the Chinese government, maybe it's not the Chinese government, maybe it's just Evergrande, it's that would be the real estate firm conglomerate in China, is right now in default and may not be able to pay $7 trillion, and I'm not sure if that's to the federal government, to investors, to hedge funds, or what it might be, but that sounds very distressing.
Yeah, it's a symptom of still larger problems in the Chinese economy. They have one of the world's worst demographic situations, and it's starting to come to roost. They have a declining population now thanks to their one-child policy that was enacted in the 70s and 80s. They have a debt problem that's worse than ours. The Evergrande default back in 2021 and the Country Garden default that's about to happen right now are both symptoms of that larger problem. Their government insists on ownership stakes and having a say in a lot of private business decisions. They have debt problems that dwarf anything that we went through in the 2008 financial crisis. China's not doomed. People are resilient and they'll find a way through this, but this is one more sign that China is not exactly the juggernaut that some people are scared of.
Yeah, it was troubling also to me is to see that we have people going now over to China with the possibility of bailing out the Chinese economy. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's sending bad money after good. I that's not something I would do.
Yeah, well, that's right. So, can you estimate or calibrate in any way the impact that this could have on the world economy and on us?
Fortunately, it looks like it won't be that contagious to the rest of the economy. It's mostly an internal problem in China. Real estate accounts for about a quarter of their entire GDP, and the trouble is a lot of that is based on a bubble. So a lot of the scary, you know, financial numbers that make China look like a juggernaut are inflated real estate values. Part of that's because of a mass migration from farms to cities. But also part of that is we've all seen videos on the internet of giant empty skyscraper cities and skylines that are completely uninhabited. That's not how you plan cities. The governments find that they're fond of big projects that turn out not to pan out. We're going to see something similar with their big brick and road initiative in the future years as more of the debt comes due and more of the white elephants turn out to be shams.
You know, opportunity here to underscore the importance of private markets and allowing consumers and pricing, the price theory, to determine what happens in an economy. And with all the central planning that's gone on with the Chinese Communist Party, it's leading to devastating results.
That's exactly right. Industrial policy is in vogue with both parties here in America right now. And I really hope they pay close attention to what's happening in China, because in the long run, Evergrande default, the Country Garden default, and the Brick and Road initiative that's turning into a disaster are all what happens when you have industrial policy in your economy. You need those free markets. You need that price system, exactly like you were talking about.
Well, thank you, Ryan. And I must say, too, I've also heard that the information we're getting out of China is not reliable, even that the estimate of 1.3 billion people in China might be an overestimation. It might be as little as 800 million people. Not that that's a big effect on the American economy, but nevertheless, can we trust what we hear from China?
You can trust that the big picture is not that rosy. At the same time, I don't buy any narratives that are going around that the government's going to collapse because of all these problems anytime soon. I think the truth is more in the middle ground. But yeah, as an example, youth unemployment in China recently reached 21%, according to official statistics.
Yeah.
And that's bad enough where the government just said, we're not going to report this anymore. We're not even going to collect the data or publish it. So, yeah, do treat the statistics with care.
Thank you, Ryan. So let's move to the borders of the United States here. And apparently information is coming in that perhaps the Fed is actually getting some results with regard to its anti-inflation push.
That's right, although they do have, still have some work to do. Just yesterday, new numbers came out on inflation from the PCE, the personal consumption expenditures. That's what the Fed uses to track inflation. They don't use the CPI that most people track and that you see in the news.
Mm.
And that came down to, I believe, 3.2%, which is still 50% above their 2% target. So they still have some work to do. They will meet again in about 3 weeks to make another interest rate decision. Between that, economic growth still being healthy and the labor market still being pretty healthy, I would expect that the Fed might do another rate increase. To help slow down inflation. They need to keep doing that until inflation does get down to their 2% target. So I can pretty much guarantee we're not going to go back to 9% inflation. We're not going to see another repeat of the 1970s stagflation. But yes, the Fed still has some work to do.
Well, you know, counter to that, the consumer sentiment apparently is dropping substantially. We see people living off of their credit cards, not having savings. There's a lot of indications that things are not going so well in the economy, perhaps even indications of recession. What are your thoughts?
I don't think there's going to be a recession. The economy is not perfect, but at the same time, it does have decent underlying health. There's no financial crisis. There's no housing bubble, anything like what there is in China. Pretty much all the economic fundamentals are in decent shape. Not spectacular, but decent shape. So the risk of recession, I'd say, is very low. And consumer sentiment is, frankly, always pessimistically biased. It's astounding. When even during a boom, three-quarters of the population will think that the economy is in recession.
So
people always just see the news. It's nothing but doom and gloom and war and famine and murder. And that colors the way that people think about the economy. But you can contrast that with how people view their own situation. How am I now? How am I going to be in 10 years? People are more realistic and more optimistic about their own situation. They just see what's in the news and think that the world is going to heck in a handbasket.
Yeah. On the other hand, my personal assessment, though, the job of this, Biden administration is not staying in its own lane. Too many policies have to do with free markets, and it's really polluting what could be a much healthier and stronger economy.
Yeah, their policies, along with their Republican colleagues, are posing enormous opportunity costs on what we can achieve here in America. Everything from tariffs that are closing off supply chains and causing people to reroute to licensing regulations that make it impossible to start up a business, permitting and environmental regulations to make it impossible to build housing or new energy infrastructure that we need. The economy somehow is still growing despite all this, but things could be much better than they are right now.
Again, Ryan Young, senior economist with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. I hope you check out. I think the website is competitive. Is it CEI.org?
It's CEI.org.
CEI.org. Ryan, really appreciate your commentary here on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Bob.
My pleasure indeed. All right, we're going to have more here on the Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Stay tuned for more of the Bob Harden Show here on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.